Well, I've found 50 reasons why Australians are the luckiest people. 50 reasons also to oppose fluoridation. 50 reasons to have a baby. 50 reasons to be glad you're pregnant. 50 reasons to use breastfeeding. There's clearly a trend there, isn't there? 50 reasons we're living in the greatest period in history. 50 reasons to quit smoking. 50 reasons to date a cricketer. 50 reasons to study science. 50 reasons why New York City is the greatest city in the world. 50 reasons why Tokyo is the greatest city in the world. 50 reasons to love Tel Aviv and never ever leave. 50 reasons to move to Montreal. 50 reasons to date an MBA student. MBA students have too much time. 50 reasons to drink wheatgrass. Yeah, I'm not sure I get that. 50 reasons to adopt a cat. Amen. And 50 reasons to hate the French. Well, we're going to take a look now at 50 reasons to support Christian mission. So, Wayne, I'm not sure we're going to get to the annual meeting, but, you know, just kidding, of course. Well, we are taking a look instead at 3 John, and it will be helpful for you to keep your Bibles open in front of you. It's interesting that 3 John is in many ways the reverse of 2 John. 2 John is a public letter written to the church to discourage them from showing hospitality to false teachers. But on the other hand, 3 John is a personal letter written to a Christian named Gaius to encourage him to show hospitality to true teachers. And this little letter has a distinct missionary emphasis. So who is Gaius? Well, Gaius is a man who is a member of a church that John is well acquainted with. Gaius himself is well known to John, and this is suggested by the very familiar language that John uses in his letter over and over again. He uses the words dear friend or beloved. So he was close to Gaius. And it is possible that Gaius was even a leader in this local church, and that is perhaps part of the reason why John wrote him, but we cannot be certain of that. The main point of 3 John is really quite simple. We should support those who go out. We should support those who go out. And we see that in verses 7 and 8. John writes, "It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth." Well, the name that John mentions in verse 7 is, of course, a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke and Paul used the same reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And going out for the sake of the name means to go into the world to proclaim Jesus to unbelievers. That's what John means by pagans. They're heathen. They're unbelievers. And now John instructs us that we should support the people who do this. I use the word support to refer to two kinds of service that John mentions in this letter. The first is hospitality. We see that mentioned in verse 8. And that hospitality that John is talking about is welcoming. It's accommodating, literally accommodating, serving meals, etc. And John is also referring to sending off, as we see in verse 6. And the sending off that he's referring to there is about providing missionaries with the means that they need to accomplish their work. It's really quite simple, isn't it? The letter of 3 John is urging us to support those who go out, but the reasons that John gives are really quite unexpected. John doesn't refer to the salvation of the unbelieving people, although that is valid. John doesn't give as a reason the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much more valid is that? So what reasons does John give us to support those who go out proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he gives just three reasons, if I understand him correctly. We should support those who go out, firstly, to work together in the truth. Secondly, to imitate good and not evil. And thirdly, to bring joy to others and to ourselves. So let's look at the first of those. We should support those who go out to work together in the truth. We see that in verse 8. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. Now this is important to compare with verse 3. In verse 3 we read, "It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth." That's that language that we came across last week in 2 John, walking in the truth. And as we learned last week, that means to live in accordance with the truth of the message of the gospel. And John now explains something of what that means, something more of what that means. Walking in the truth also means working together for the truth. It means contributing to the mission of proclaiming the gospel. Now, what's fascinating is that John says all Christians can be missionaries. All Christians can be fellow workers. That's the language that he uses. Not just participants, but fellow workers in God's mission. Even if we're not crossing borders, even if we're not going into foreign cultures. And he's still talking about global mission. He's still talking about taking the gospel to the world. He says we can be fellow workers by supporting global mission actively. We should support those who go out to work together in the truth. Verse 8. Well, if you give to God's work through Berwick Anglican Church, then in some sense you are already a fellow worker for the truth, because Berwick Anglican Church does indeed give a percentage of its income to missionaries and to mission organizations. But you can play an even more active role than that. You can give additional support. You can give additional support as an individual, as a family, or even as a growth group. And that support can come in different forms, can't it? It doesn't just mean giving money, although that is vital. So don't underestimate, for example, the importance of people who are housebound dedicatedly praying for those who go out. Those prayers are precious. They are fellow workers. Well, there are also a variety of short-term, medium-term, long-term ways in which we can support those who go out. Short-term, well, perhaps it means a one-off gift that you could give. Donating a gift box to Samaritan's Purse's Operation Christmas Child is a great one-off example of being a fellow worker. Or perhaps giving a donation to chaplaincy at Berwick Secondary College, as we do every year, through the collection that is taken on carols at the hill, on the hill. Well, what about medium-term ways? How can we be fellow workers in the medium term? Well, what about providing billeting for those students from Canberra who are coming to join in our mission week? That is an easy way of being a fellow worker, sharing in the proclamation of the truth. Or even visiting one of our link missionaries when you go on holiday. Thankfully, not all of them are overseas. Some of them are even in this country. And you can visit them, bringing them encouragement. Or there's, of course, even long-term ways in which we can do this, aren't there? Perhaps adopting a link missionary as a family. Or adopting a linked missionary as a growth group. And so you can send emails of encouragement, perhaps on a monthly basis, or you can post a birthday card, or you can send a Christmas card or Easter card, or you can even, crazy thought, give them a call on Skype and chat to them. Can you imagine what joy and encouragement that would bring to people like Brad and Michelle Jackson and their children, Talia, Bailey, and Caleb, living in Kobe in Japan? We should support those who go out, John tells us, to work together in the truth. That's the first point. Secondly, we should support those who go out to imitate good, not evil. That's very clearly presented, isn't it, in verse 11. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Everyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. John does not only give Gaius instruction, but he very helpfully illustrates what he's talking about. And he even uses live specimens. John uses both a negative and a positive example. The first example John uses is Diotrephes. Diotrephes is apparently a leader in the local church, and we read about him in verses 9 and 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So it's quite clear what Diotrephes was getting up to, isn't it? Promoting himself and asserting himself over others, ignoring the greater authority of John, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even spreading unsubstantiated accusations against John. But worse than that, he will not even show hospitality to those who go out. And on top of that, he obstructs any other brothers and sisters from offering hospitality. And as if that weren't bad enough, he then throws out the church anyone who tries to do that. He excommunicates them. Well, people who do such evil are described by John as those who have not seen God. They're not acquainted with God. They do not have a relationship with God if they are going to obstruct the mission of God. They may not obviously be bad examples, but their cumulative example over time is revealing. They are obstructing the work of God, and they do not know God. Well, John says we are not to imitate such people. But thankfully, John then turns to the next specimen. The second example, of course, is Demetrius. Demetrius is either a local church member or even a leader with whom Gaius is already familiar. It's possible even that Demetrius is the man who delivered this letter to Gaius, that he's a friend of John. Well, what do we know of Demetrius? We read in verse 12, verse 12 in 3 John. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. The church testifies that Demetrius is a good and godly man. God's revelation of loving character testifies that Demetrius is a good man. And even the Apostle John, who knows him personally, can testify to his godliness. Well, John describes people like Demetrius as those who are from God. Isn't that wonderful language? From God. They are spiritually born of God. They are begotten of God. They are children of God. And they prove that by consistently promoting God's mission. And so obviously they will be commended by the church, by all of God's people. And those are the people that John says we must imitate. We should support those who go out to imitate good and not evil. One couple who I can imitate, who I can learn from, are my maternal grandparents, John and Susan Clench. They were not at all wealthy people, but they frequently provided hospitality to missionaries. They frequently provided accommodation for missionaries. They faithfully supported numerous missions organizations and missionaries, and they did so month by month, year in and year out, until the day each of them died. Certainly an example to follow. Another example in my life is the first rector that I worked under in pastoral ministry, Warwick Cole Edwards. Bishop Warwick was thoroughly committed to world missions throughout his pastoral ministry. Examples of that are that he established a mission conference, he established a training college, he encouraged numerous people to go into missions, and today even he is still committed to God's worldwide mission, because in his retirement he's taken up, guess what, mission work. Well, who do you know that has a heart for missions that you could imitate? Following the example of more mature Christians in our church who show a commitment to God's mission is exactly what John is encouraging us to do. Also, observing the example of godly Christian leaders who faithfully promote missions is helpful to us. I can think, for example, of someone like John Piper. He has a burning passion for God's mission in the world, and he's written a whole lot about it. A man like him is worthy of our emulation. Well, perhaps you don't know anyone personally, and so you do need to look further afield, and there are plenty of inspirational examples that I can think of, men and women, people such as Selina, the Countess of Huntingdon, or the Clapham Saints, for example, Charles Simeon and William Wilberforce, or even someone more contemporary like Corrie ten Boom. You can read about all of these great Christian people and get a whole lot of tips in the process on how you can live out the support of those who are going out. So John says, firstly, that we should support those who go out to work together in the truth. Secondly, to imitate good, not evil. And lastly, John says we should support those who go out to bring joy to others and to ourselves. To bring joy to others and to ourselves. Well, firstly, we read that Gaius brings joy to others because he's walking in the truth. We saw that, didn't we, in verses 3 and 4. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Gaius's support brings joy to the brothers, those who have gone out. And we can see this implicitly, can't we, by the fact that they give a glowing report to the Apostle John about this nobody, Gaius. And not only do they give a glowing report of him to the Apostle John, but also to the whole church. So we too can bring joy to those who go out. Joy to them by supporting them. Joy to them by serving them. Joy to them by showing them hospitality. We can do it individually. We can do it corporately. We can do it simply by giving them real and tangible support. But Gaius's support brings joy to others as well. His support brings joy to John. And John tells us that very explicitly, doesn't he? News of Gaius's faithfulness to the truth brings John great joy, he says. News of Gaius walking in the truth gives John great joy. In fact, John goes so far as to say, there's nothing that gives him greater joy, which astonishes me. But there's truth in that. So we too can bring joy to others in the church. We too can bring joy to our leaders by supporting those who go out. I'll give you one example of this. One household, one family in our church has sent recordings of a Christian conference to one of our Link missionaries. What a great idea. Well, not only does that bring me a whole lot of joy, knowing the love that has been shown, the very real support that has been shown to one of our missionaries, but I know that it brought a whole lot of joy to those missionaries as well. Someone was thinking about them. Someone was thinking about their growth in walking the Christian life, their growth as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone contributed in a tangible way, and they benefited accordingly, and they took such joy in sharing that with me. Well, how can you bring joy to our Link missionaries? What support can you give them while they are out there in the field, as it were? Well, it doesn't have to be big, does it? It can sometimes just be a surprise one-off gift. Perhaps even just something really Aussie that they could really appreciate that they don't have access to wherever they are. Some Vegemite. Why not? What support can you give them when they come home to Australia on furlough? Maybe loaning them a car. Perhaps you can do without one of your cars just for a few weeks. Or what about giving them the use of a holiday home if your family has a holiday house? What a great idea, giving them some time out in between making contact again with all of the churches that support them. Such practical, such easy ways to support them and bring joy. Well, it's interesting that the joy is not only for others. The joy is also for us. It's also for us. Imagine the joy that was brought to Gaius. We only need to read the letter to see pretty clearly what joy must have been brought to him. We know it's well with his soul. We see that in verse 2. But in addition to that, he gets news of a glowing report from the brothers that is given regarding him and what he has done. And this glowing report is just being spread all over the place. It's being given to John the Apostle. It's being given to the church where John is. What joy that must have brought Gaius' heart. And think about the way in which John commends Gaius in this letter and encourages him to continue to persevere in supporting missionaries. Surely that would have brought great joy to Gaius to hear even from the great apostle John. Well, it might sound trite to say this, but it's true nonetheless. If you're lacking joy in your Christian walk, guess what? I've found a way you can get that joy. Support your brothers and sisters who go out into the world proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will get joy. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that simple and easy? Because it's a biblical principle, isn't it? That you will be blessed as you bless others. Jesus himself said it is better to give than to receive. So if you're looking for joy, you know where to find it. We should support those who go out to bring joy to others and to bring joy to ourselves. John has a lot to say in this letter. We've probably just scratched the surface of it. But what we do learn without a doubt is that we should support those who go out. Firstly, that we may work together in the truth. Secondly, that we may imitate good, not evil. And thirdly, to bring joy to others and to ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we're not always good at supporting those who go out. We confess that we sometimes forget them. We confess that we sometimes just trust that other people will take care of those who go out. We confess, Heavenly Father, that we can be lazy, or perhaps we can just simply be selfish sometimes. So Lord, change our hearts, we pray. Lord, help us to recognize that by supporting those who go out, we work together in the truth. We become fellow workers. That we're not simply watching from the sidelines, but that we're actively involved in global mission for your glory and for the good of your people. So, Father, we ask that you help us to imitate good, to follow the example of people in our church who are committed to global mission, who are passionate about proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the world. And help us to imitate them. Help us to follow their example. And help us not to be like those who have no interest, have no commitment to your mission. Lord God, finally we pray too that you'd help us to support those who go out for the sake of joy, for the sake of the joy of those who go out, for the sake of the joy of our brothers and sisters, for the sake of our own joy. Lord, help us not to miss out on the joy that's there to be had. And we ask these things through your Holy Spirit and because of our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.